boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Welcome! I'm Sasha Kaplan to what is supposed to be the Days of Future episode. Days of Future Past episode. But apparently, as I was told last week, I have to review The Wolverine.
Because it is a theater.
Like it matters. But fine. Everybody at this point should know my hate for Wolverine. I did do my very best to put my thoughts on Wolverine, my personal feelings on Wolverine aside, to earnestly review this movie. And as we noted last week, I actually didn't see this movie until this week in preparation for this episode. One, because as previously mentioned, I don't give two flying hoots about Wolverine. See, I stopped myself there. As golf Mike claps, applauds golf awkwardly.
Golf anyway, claps.
Golf claps. Thank you. Anyway, so I did try to put kind of a lot of my own preconceived biases aside to review this film in earnest. I will say I do have vague recollection of the comic book this is based on. So I will talk about the comic book, but please don't come at me if I get details wrong. I meant to read the comic before I reviewed this, but then life happened. So I did not get to it. Because
as Michael watched the movie.
Yes, I did watch the movie and I did take notes. There's a lot of things I meant to do this week that for whatever reason and pain of hands, I did not get to. So that is, such is life. So with that, as we reviewed First Class last week, we're going to put aside everything we know about First Class. And
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
And X-Men Origins Wolverine, thank you, because apparently those movies don't matter. But the only movie that is apparently relevant is actually, weirdly enough, X-Men The Last Stand. And we'll go into why that is. So anyway, we open to Japan. And I called it being, like, oh, one other thing. I did not watch a single trailer. Like, I have zero recollection of trailers. The only thing I knew was there was a whole bunch of Japanese actors in this movie. That is literally, and it involved Wolverine. That's it. I had no other clue as to what this movie was about. I knew it had involved the Silver Samurai. That's about it. So I knew very, very little about where this movie began. And I called it being Japan in like 2 seconds. Like, we didn't even, like, I just saw the tower. I'm like, yep, this is Japan and this is World War II. That is, I'm a historian. Anyway, so it is obviously Japan during World War II, except it's at first unclear where in World War II this happens. But there's like a bomber coming and there's like a dude in a metal container who's, you know, Wolverine. And he's sort of like, he's using his bone claws to be like up, climb on top of the well that he is imprisoned in because he's a POW, to kind of see what's going on. So there's soldiers that are basically, there's like, the Japanese are like releasing soldiers and telling the POWs and like telling them to run. But one of them comes to Logan and like frees him and says, you got to run. And Wolverine's like, you can't outrun what's coming. I'm like, oh God, is it a nuke? Is this a nuke?
It's the A-bomb.
It's the A-bomb. Yeah. So you can't outrun what's coming. Get in. So the Japanese soldier's name is Yoshida. So as everything is coming and all the black things are like, the darkness is looming, the bombers are coming, the prisoners are running free. Two officers and this guy Yoshida are about to commit suicide, as is the way of the samurai, I guess. There's another specific word for it. Is it seppuku?
I think it's harikari.
It might be harikari. Anyway, so they're about to commit this process of suicide by sword, but Yoshida chickens out, I guess. But this is the A-bomb being dropped and sort of the dark fallout. Logan, meanwhile, Logan takes his word, tells him to run, and basically him and Logan fall in the bunker. Logan, like, covers himself with his body, and he uses, like, a metal container or something to, like, shield Yoshida. So Logan is, you know, a little crispy, but he's fine. And so the guy like offers him, basically he saves the guy. That's the point. Next thing we know, Logan wakes up with Jean. I guess the bombs
so,
were being...
So let's throw it in perspective like this. We just technically got an origin story to start the film, and now we're jumping to where we're, as you're about to find out, is a few years after the events of X3.
Yeah, it should be noted that, like... Anyway, so yeah, Logan wakes up with Jean, and I guess she asks him, like, are you dreaming about Nagasaki again? And so Jean apparently can't stay, and apparently Logan made a vow not to kill people anymore. I'm sure that'll last. Like, that might be the funniest thing in this movie, is Logan making a vow not to kill people. And then what does he do? Proceeds to kill a bunch of people. But we'll get to that. So he wakes up, but this is like this is one of those situations where it's like a dream within a dream. So he wakes up again, and he's homeless and lives in a cave because he's a wild animal.
Except that's not the dream. Oh, no, that's right. You're right. Yeah. He does the dream, and then he wakes up.
Yeah. So anyway, Gene is a dream within a dream. Anyway, so he's at an awkward campsite off like a mountainside, and he's kind of got a little feral. Not like full on feral like in the comics, but like he's a wild man. I have a question. How the heck did Wolverine get his memories back? And like, I'm ignoring Origins. I genuinely am ignoring Origins. But even in X-Men The Last Stand, Logan did not have memories of his life before. He didn't even remember Stryker.
So here's the thing. And we'll talk more about this next week when we do Days of Future Past. Because what I think is going on at this point, because especially with Days of Future Past, is that you have two different timelines going on at the same time. And that's causing some of the issues that we constantly see. So we're running into this scenario, and that's one of the reasons why this movie exists, to help bridge us to that next gap, because we'll get to it when we get to the end credits scene. We're literally running through two timelines at the same time.
I get all that, but I'm still very confused because we're given no explanation how, ignoring Origins, because we don't give two shits about Origins. The original X-Men trilogy established very well that Logan had no clue about his past. We do know he's older than he looks, and that he has this stupid obsession with Jean.
Well,
for no reason.
Well, we don't know in the events leading up to the end of X3 if Xavier did any work with Wolverine and trying to restore some of it.
Yes. So we do to an extent, where in X2 or X3, at one point Logan asks, like, I need you to read my memories again. And Charles tells him, we've gotten everything we can out of it. Like, your brain is just mush. Like, it ain't going to happen. But this isn't even something that, like, just like timing wise, it's a very random memory. Like, I understand why this memory makes sense later, but we're really never given an explanation how he got his memories back. Even like a throwaway line of how he remembers this would not have killed anybody. All right.
But at the same time, given how he doesn't really interact with anyone else from the original trilogy.
But that's not the relevant part here. That doesn't matter. I don't care about his interactions with the original trilogy, but like, you can still, in any way, shape, or form, there's many different ways they could have explained how Wolverine remembers Yoshida. Like, there are ways. Even a conversation with Jean about why he remembers Nagasaki in his stupid dreamscape would have been fine. It didn't require a lot of effort. Anyway. Yep. So Wolverine goes down the mountainside looking like a bear, and then he meets a really ugly-ass CGI bear. And he goes into town. Like, he doesn't care about the bear. It's fine. There's...
The bear and him are friends. They
have a mutual understanding of each other because they both smell like bear.
They've come to the understanding of, like, I'm not going to piss on your territory. You're not going to piss on my territory, as the bear pisses on a tree at the same time. But
anyway, we get him and the bear have a really magical bond. Friendship is magic. I get it. So Logan goes into town and he overhears like a group of hunters that are going to go out into his woods or whatever. That night, Logan, we see like the hunter scream. There's like a very overdone, like a disheveled campsite. and he sees bear tracks. He finds the bear, and it looks like the bear is actually, like, dying and is in pain, so he kills the bear, and there's an arrow that is laced with poison that he sees. So Logan goes back to town to a bar where a man is standing there, or he's talking to the bartender about the bear mauling everyone and how he barely got out alive, and Logan buys him, he's like, I'm gonna buy this man a drink, and then stabs him with the arrow. And which has poison, which is illegal, obviously. Like, you cannot hunt with poison arrows. Like, and then just to add insult to injury of this dicky evil hunter, Logan pours alcohol straight onto the wound. Classic. Logan doesn't appreciate the lack of hunting skills, and basically they're about to get into it, and like duke it out, where this redheaded Japanese girl shows up and stops him, saying that he says not to bother, they'll all die soon anyway without Logan's help, and she doesn't really explain why, but she says they're all gonna die in a week anyway. So the girl has a pretty badass sword called the Denzan, and she stops Logan from fighting. She leaves, and they leave before the cops arrive. Her name is Yukio, and she has been looking for Logan for over a year. She had to bring him the sword, and this is something that her employer has tasked her to do. Her boss is Master Yoshida, and that this is part of paying a debt. For as a thank you for saving his life, he gets this unbelievably slick looking sword. And he asks that Yoshida basically asks Yukio to find Logan to give him the sword, but also to ask him to like come back and say goodbye. And like a dumbass, Logan goes reluctantly, but he still goes. So he gets to ride on a jet, and he still has a fear of airplanes that we never get an explanation for.
I'm okay with not having an explanation for why he fears flying.
Honestly, I'm really not. They make such a big deal out of it every single time that it gets annoying.
But I'm okay not getting an explanation. I'm not.
I mean, I'm okay with Logan just like not being a focus of anything ever again, but I don't get to be happy. So it's been an honor meeting the Wolverine. So apparently there's something about soldiers seeking an honorable death, and Logan is in pain. Logan agrees to come with her for one day, but this is a 15-hour flight, so he's going to be staying longer than he planned. So Yukio can see the future. She's a mutant, I guess. It's not really clearly stated whether or not she is or isn't, but everybody in this universe who has powers is a mutant. So we're just going to go with mutant. Yukio can see the future, and she says that Logan will not die on the plane. So they arrive at Yoshida's, I guess, compound. It's really beautiful. And he's apparently a big deal. There's security. The Japanese mob are apparently after Yoshida. We're not really given an explanation, but it's kind of implied that he's like a really influential person. He's kind of a big deal.
Well, it gets explained in a little bit.
It does. So Logan gets wounded, claims hip replacement. He gets wanded, excuse me, not wounded, because they walk through the airport, and he has to go through the metal detector when you come in, because he flew in on a private jet, and he asks to be wanded, and, like, he's beeping, and he's like, yeah, I have a hip replacement. Logan sees a kendo match, like, off to the side, and we know that this is Master Yoshida's son, Shingen?
Yeah.
And Yukio says he's all right. Like, eh. So we also see Mariko, Yoshida's granddaughter, who is really pretty. The actress that plays her is gorgeous. And Yukio hugs her. Mariko won't tell her what's wrong, but it's clearly she's been crying. Logan looks like a caveman, I should preface. Like, he's got this trench coat, he's got a beard and burly hair. Like, he looks like a Yeti. Like, he could have been mistaken for Bigfoot. Like, he just looks disheveled and looks like a homeless person. Like, the stereotype of a homeless person, this is what he looks like. So he gets the treatment, and they shave him, fix him, clean him in places where he probably didn't think he needed cleaning, but he probably needed cleaning. But they also have to, like, basically disinfect him because Master Yoshida is dying. So there's, like, this really derpy and awkward stereotypical, like, bath scene that has remnants of, like, a thousand other bath scenes from like the original Mulan to I don't know how many other like semi-related scenes and like I can't even think of right now, but there's like 5,000 other movies where a scene like this has played out in almost the exact same way. So we see that there is, anyway, so he looks nice, but he feels like he's been violated. So we see a very sexy looking blonde doctor lady who is labeled as Dr. Green and who is the oncologist. And she says that Wolverine only has 5 minutes to talk to Yoshida. Weird tech floating things. So he's like on this suspended bed that like automatically moves with him to kind of keep him supported. And like Yoshida looks like he's already dead. Like he just looks terrible. So Yoshida tells him about this Black Klan painting, which is the story of his family and the region outside of Nagasaki where they are from. They are these like ninja warriors. So Yoshida wants to repay Logan and for saving his life and give him that which no one else can. Yoshida wants to take eternity away. So basically he wants Wolverine's healing factor, for lack of a better term, because Logan lives forever, which like later we'll find out that Logan doesn't actually live forever. He just lives a really long time because of his healing factor. But the point being that Yoshida does not want to die. He does not feel he's ready to die. Which makes what happens a little bit later really, really, totally, and absolutely not suspicious at all. So anyway, the ability to heal can be passed so that Logan can grow old and die like everybody else, because that is apparently what Yoshida has determined Logan wants. Why Yoshida thinks this is what Logan wants is really unclear, because it doesn't look like they've interacted in the 70 years after Nagasaki. So, all right then. We'll just pretend we know. Yoshida's very desperate, and he tells her, but we also find out that she's in danger and that she must be protected. Mariko and her father argue, and then he slaps her. And then Logan conveniently saves her from jumping off the cliff. It should be noted that Logan says, sorry, Yoshida, like, thanks for playing. I'm not passing on my healing factor to you. I'm out of here. We also find out that Yukio and Mariko actually grew up together. Yukio was saved by Yoshida because I guess Yoshida and Mariko had gone to tour some factory and they saw little Yukio who was like homeless and because her parents died. And apparently Mariko had like a really hard time making friends. So her grandfather found her one for her. And that is how Yukio came to live with them. And they like grew up together. So Logan goes to sleep, but there's this like really obviously unrealistic looking green smoke coming out of the tea. Also Jean appears again and it is extra creepy. But then Jean kind of morphs into the blonde lady and kisses Logan and there's the green smoke and then Logan wakes up to find out Yoshida is dead. Convenient, isn't it? 5 minutes later, after Logan sees him, he dies. I'm sure this blonde lady has
maybe
nothing
not 5 minutes,
to do with
but more
this.
Like a half hour to an hour later, but you know.
It's been a couple hours. All right, I'll give it to you. But like, ain't it interesting how like the green lady just like is really green and really obviously suspicious? All right then. So Logan goes to the funeral. There is the doctor's at the funeral, and she just looks like, I mean, she's like a Nazi walking. Like, Jesus, she's just so blonde and so blue-eyed and chiseled. Holy fudge brownies. She's just like really obviously like to the point of cartoonishness evil. Like, I keep expecting her to like rub her hands together and cackle maniacally. Like, this is how evil she looks. So they go like inside the temple and we see some dude on a roof and there's like a ton of security everywhere. And Mariko has a fiance. We learn he is the justice minister. And I like the actor that plays him because he's just so, first of all, he's gorgeous to look at. Like, oh my God, he can just be in anything and I'll be very happy.
Which is funny. But he had a bit role in Jurassic World. He was Shredder in the second Turtles movie. The one when they finally introduced Krang into the real real cinematic.
Yeah, world. I never watched the live action Ninja Turtle movies. I wanted to save myself the pain of my childhood eroding.
When you say the live action, are you talking about the ones with Megan Fox or the originals?
Both.
Okay, so originals, awesome. The first one with Megan Fox was but the second one was actually a lot better and was actually more geared towards us who watched the cartoon and stuff as a kid.
Well, I'll get there eventually. Anyway, so Yoshida's son is kind of a jerk, and he basically tells Logan, time to go back to the cave. And the sniper guy, who's, on top of the roof, he will be called Sniper Guy or Ninja Guy until he has a name. So Sniper Guy says something like, I pledge to dedicate my life to protect Mariko, and, praises his allegiance to the Black Clan. And we see, off to the side, there's, armor that someone tells us belonged to the Silver Samurai, who, watches over the family or something. And so the priest, as the priest is walking behind Mariko, Logan notices that he's a little too tattooed to be a priest. And he ends up disrupting the funeral and calling the guy out, and then Logan gets shot. And it hurts. And he doesn't quite heal the way he normally does. And Mariko gets taken. Yukio then goes to the roof, and the rooftop guy give chase. Logan walks through the bad guys, and the rooftop guy's got arrows, and he starts, shooting the arrows. Dr. Green takes a video for some reason. We never really find out why, but she does. I guess maybe to get Logan's fighting style or whatever. And then she kills a guy with her snake tongue. I wonder who she could be. It's Lady Tarantula.
It's a character that you wanted to see in the film for a while now.
I know it's, what's her name? The Serpent Lady or Viper. Lady Viper. Viper, Lady Hydra, take your pick. It's the same name. We find out, and this is a really nice addition they made to this film, is Mariko is not a damsel in distress, at least not completely. She can actually fight herself. She is not useless. She is not just a damsel in distress. She actually does things. And she does, she's variously, these are men that are much stronger than her. But she does manage to, slap one around and, free herself a couple of times. Arrow guy's kind of impressed, and then she says something, Mariko calls Logan Kuzuri. By the way, should preface this, my apologies to the entire Japanese culture for any mispronunciations I may make. I'm very sorry if I butcher anything here. One problem I have with this entire thing, the shaky cam. I want to take the inventor of the shaky cam and beat him over the head. This does not help anybody. It's very, very distracting, and it makes it very difficult to follow the action.
You can blame war movies like Saving Private Ryan for that. You can blame the idiots of the Blair Witch Project for also making it a very popular thing.
I will blame the Blair Witch Project over Saving Private Ryan. In Saving Private Ryan, I feel like it made more sense because there's bombs and things exploding around them as they're running in a scene. And so that to me makes more sense to, but again, if you use it sporadically, if the camera is shaking as bombs are going off, that makes sense because it makes us feel what the characters are feeling. But when it is throughout this, there is absolutely zero reason to have a shaky cam here. It was really, really distracting. So they end up, basically, Logan, they break free. They, escape into the city. They run through the streets. There's still too many bad guys. The arrow guy follows them. They go into an arcade, Arrow Guy helps take out a bad guy, and Mariko doesn't really answer Logan's question. He's like, what is going on? Why are people after you? Where are you going? What are you gonna do? Do you have a plan? Where are we going? I'm not letting you out of my sight. He continues to follow her, and they both end up on the same train. The justice minister follows, it does a press briefing, because this is all politicians know how to do, is just talk to the press. and Yukio is really pissed off. So Yoshida's son, Shinjin, confronts Yukio about her gaijin friend, which is, I think gaijin is like something that is like an insult to Westerners. I don't know that for sure. Or is it just somebody who is like not Japanese? But again, my apologies if any of this is incorrect. So anyway, Yukio tells Shinjin that this gaijin is protecting Mariko. So he in turn, and then he insults her, and so Logan and Mariko end up going to the end of the line. They're going south, a place where no one knows about. I'm like, girl, $5 if somebody knows about it. Like, Logan is realistically her only option for protection. Then Logan goes to the bathroom because he's dizzy, because he's not healing, and more Yakuza show up to fight them. And then there's this fight on the bullet train. Honestly, this entire fight is so pointless and could have been cut, like, genuinely. Like, it was interesting to watch, but it served no purpose. Like, the first fight served a purpose. It was to get Logan and Mariko out of the way. It was to kidnap Mariko, first of all, but it was also to, like, get them into the city so they could go, like, to keep the plot moving. This fight on the train does nothing. They do not get off, they do get off the train and then, like, travel by bus and awkwardly, but, like, it wasn't necessary. It was just to add an extra fight scene to make this movie 2.5 hours.
It was still a good fight scene, and the film is actually 2 hours and 6 minutes, unless whatever. You watch the director's cut, which I highly whatever. Recommend watching the director's cut, and I'll explain why later.
All right, then. I don't know. I watched whatever version was on Disney Plus. Like,
that's the theatrical version.
Okay, well, this fight could have been cut, honestly. Like, it was pretty cool to look at, don't get me wrong, but it just served no purpose. So they end up in a love hotel by accident. That was pretty funny. And they have theme rooms. So they get into the Mars one. And Logan won't be sleeping. Logan is still bleeding. He, like, walks out into the raining rooftop, and Jean says, just let go and die, basically. And come to me. And then Logan falls off the building and passes out. He wakes up in a lab. And someone is stitching him up by a veterinarian, because there's, like, a cage with an animal in it. And blonde doctor lady, she did this to him. And, like, duh. She's literally the only remotely menacing person in this movie so far. Like, what were our other options? The arrow guy? Not to be confused with the other arrow guy. This is a new arrow guy. Anyway, so the meanwhile, arrow guy sees a blonde. He sees the blonde who works for he. It's kind of implied that he's, like, working for her, or they're using each other. We don't know why yet. We found out he has a name. His name is Harada, and he claims to work for Yoshida. Yoshida, who is dead, whose funeral we just went to.
You can anyway, still work for somebody if they're dead, if you have a contract.
This is
it's
true.
With the family, which he openly admits that the contract is through the family.
It's true, but it's still kind of weird because Logan is part of this contract. Because the totally not evil blonde says she wants Logan. She also has this, like, kind of awkward mole on her cheek that's just, like, really distracting sometimes. let's see. So So Logan and Mariko end up just outside of Nagasaki, which is the whole, basically they end up in the place that Yoshida was telling Logan about, the home of the Black Clan. And Harada was supposed to, I guess, be her husband when they were kids. And we see, like, these pictures, and it's so cute. And they have dinner, and Logan keeps putting his chopsticks upright, which is a bad omen. But Logan asks about her running out on the train, and Mariko says that it was her grandfather who told her that in 3 days at the will reading, Mariko will essentially become the heir and get everything. So not only is she getting everything, but her dad has just been, like, completely passed over. Big no-no. Oh, there's also something that was mentioned about, and I think this is mentioned slightly later, but there's something about Yoshida stockpiling adamantium. We'll get to that in a second. So Mariko says she didn't want to get everything. And Logan asks about her marriage to, I guess his name is Noboru, the justice minister. And she says it was arranged by her father. So it's not quite clear why, if she was supposed to marry Harada, there was like this whole thing. And then now she's engaged to this other dude. So her father chastises the police for being unable to find his daughter. And Noboru says he's like, his contacts are going south because there's been bodies popping up or something. So the Yakuza has an inside man. Logan helps remove the fallen tree on the road of the village. And then Logan sees something and he walks off. And then he finds his old bunker where he got trapped and everything. So we go back to the flashback. Logan says, like, okay, now it's time to leave the bunker. And Yoshida offers him his sword. Logan doesn't take it. So someday I will come back for it. And then, of course, he forgot everything. So he couldn't come back for it.
Well, and right here, real quick. Because we're talking about, like, we talked about, like, Logan's memories. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, sometimes, and this could be an exclamation for, explanation. I can't speak. That him touching the bunker, being able to go back to where it was. Because we also, in a way, saw this with X2. When he went back to where he was, you know, got the adamantium and stuff like that. That it stirs some of those memories and stuff like that. So even though his brain, in the words of Xavier, is mush, he still can have stuff come back eventually.
True, but that still doesn't explain what triggered that one specific dream memory thing. And then Jean's inside dream was like, why are you dreaming about Nagasaki? Like,
maybe he was foreseeing his own future, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, not a superpower he has, thank God.
Doesn't have to be, but at the same time. But let me ask you this. Have you ever had a weird dream about something that you've never done before or may be doing in the future, but you just don't know about it, and then eventually you do it in real life?
Yes, but this is not like that because he's dreaming about the past. And, like, you could make a case that his subconscious is blah, 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 but it's just, like, it's way too convenient that, like, he has a dream about, like, I think it would have been better if we saw the flashback, that it was, like, a flashback for us, not for Logan. And then we have, like, Logan actually not knowing who this guy is. But we don't have that. He just kind of buys everything Yukio is saying, which is fine, but like a little bit of an explanation wouldn't have killed anybody.
We're making the explanations up as we go along, damn it. When I say we, I mean me and you.
Pretty much, yeah. So they talk about Logan. So someday Logan will come back for the sword. So apparently there's a crack about like how a man can recover from anything. And Logan's sleep issues, Jean, there's Rain. Logan can't kimono. Like, he tries to put on the whole thing, and it didn't work. Thankfully, Mariko fixes it. Like, that's awkward. Anyway, so Yoshida called Logan Ronin, which is a samurai without a master. And then that Logan lives forever with no reason to live. Logan kisses her, they make out a bit, then they have sex. But this is a PG-13 movie, so keep that in mind. Jean is like next to him and tells him that this isn't going to end well. And she's right. But so she's right, but she's also wrong. It won't end well, but it won't end well the way Jean says it will. There's dreams of a silver samurai. Mariko says that there's something called a kuzuri, which is an animal, which is a fierce creature. Basically, it's a wolverine. Like, that is what we're getting at. And that, like, he's like a creature with teeth who fears nothing, and Mariko's dad is still a jerk, but the kuzuri was like the friend of her grandfather, because her father was mean to her, so like her grandfather told her the story of the kuzuri, and like that was a comfort for her. Grandpa sounds like a really great guy so far. Mariko also, again, like just like she did on the pier, she asks about Jean. Logan says she died, he killed her. And I'm like, That's not quite what happened, but all right.
It's the abbreviated version.
It's like the abridged version. Like, you couldn't even say that, like, I had to kill her because she was going to kill everybody. Like, fine. We're building our own canon now, and everything in the past doesn't matter. This is a brand new, totally original Wolverine movie. Fine. So basically, he killed her, and the Kuzidi, like, died with Jean or something, and they lie back down. Yukio dreams about Logan, and Logan wakes up alone. Mariko is in trouble, of course. Like, the amount of times Wolverine has to tell her, like, I go first, stay with me. And then, like, in the morning, she's gone, and, like, the second she is alone, she gets kidnapped. Girl, come on. So Logan goes after her, but there's a lot more Yakuza. He, like, tries to crawl on the rooftop, and then he falls and, like, breaks his leg. But Yukio finds Logan. But he does kill one of the Yakuza who won't talk. So anyway, Yukio finds Logan. He is limping, and they go to Noboru. Yukio says that she has seen Logan's death, and Logan will be on his back with blood, holding his own heart in his hands. And is not breathing. And it's not beating, excuse me. We also find out that this is where we get Yukio's backstory, that at age 5, she actually saw her parents' death. And then Logan is reminded again that he's vulnerable and he needs backup. So they go to Noboru, who is in a very nice hotel with, getting ready for a threesome. Logan is, of course, angry, because he's very protective of Mariko, the girl he met like 5 minutes ago. His personal life, he's already deeply enthralled in. Logan is reminded. So Logan demands answers. He wants to know why he put a Yakuza hit on his own fiance. Yeah, so they figure out that Noboru actually is in cahoots with the Yakuza. So Shinjin, apparently Yoshida apparently bankrupted the company. He was stockpiling adamantium, and Shinjin was protecting him. He was lying to the board, covering up his father's, like, bankrupting the company, because he thought at the end of the day, he'd be rewarded for it. And Daddy said, nope. He tried to be a good son. But Mariko is getting it all, and with like zero obligations to their father or to Noboru. So they basically kidnapped her because with Mariko getting everything, she has zero obligation to her father or to Noboru because she's actually more powerful than they are now, or will be technically, because we haven't gotten to the will reading. Yeah. So
And that explains why you have like the Yakuza going after her, because they set it all up.
They did set it up because they're jerks. But so we know only half the story now. We know about Mariko. We do not know about what is going on with Logan and why he's not healing. We know who did it. We just don't know how and why. All right. So Logan basically throws Noboru into a pool. And Yuki's like, did you know that pool was there? He's like, nope.
it's a great moment because
it's a great
like,
moment because
he just takes him. It's like, all right, it's the end of you, and he just launches him, and it's like, how do you know that pool was there? I didn't.
Yep. So Mariko meanwhile is brought to her father, and the dad goes on a long evil bad guy rant about how he studied biology in college and genetics, and talks about recessive genes and snipping generations and the black clan. But anyway. The Black Clan arrives, and they start walking through, and I do mean walking through all of the, like, protection
the security agents. Guards and stuff.
The security. The rent-a-cops, clearly.
If I'm one of these security guards, and I turn around, and I see the Black Clan just taking everyone out, I just be like, yo, I don't see anything. I'll just leave.
I'll
walk out the door. So, I know nothing. Deuces. You know?
So the Black Clan so dad is basically jealous that his daughter gets everything, and he's kind of gone Coco for Cocoa Puffs, and he plans to kill the daughter. And I'm like, killing your daughter does not strictly guarantee you get everything. It might like get you points with the board, but like, you don't know how many contingencies Daddy Yoshida had. Like, if he was smart enough to put his daughter in charge, probably has something else going on too. Then we see the sword, and she says that she's gonna like kill herself or something. So the Black Clan take Mariko, and they're led by Harada, and they, you know, she goes with them. Meanwhile, Viper needs Mariko alive, and she kills the father.
So we think.
So Logan and Yuki arrive at the compound, and it's kind of quiet. So they go to the lab, and they find a note to a place. It's like a page out of a book that has a specific building. It says, come and get her. So this is Master Yoshida's birthplace, which is 500 kilometers away. And I have a note here about no creepy floaty shit. I don't know why I wrote that, but all right. So somebody takes a sword and armor. Logan, so what's cool is like Yoshida had this like cool like mobile x-ray machine, and he starts like waving it around himself. And
this is why he had the no floating shit.
So, oh, right.
The reason is that earlier in the film, when Logan gets to the house, he notices in these two jars that there's this weird bug.
Yeah, thing. There's the little creepy floaty things in the beginning
it's like these parasites.
They look like creepy little spiders.
Now they're in there, and Logan looks at the jars and notices that they're not there.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Now he goes to the x-ray machine.
Now I see why I have creepy floaty shit. That actually genuinely what it says here in my notes. Anyway.
You're welcome.
So thank you. So there's a worm on Logan's heart, and like it's really kind of creepy how he's like driving this like x-ray thing. And as it gets to his heart, you see there's like this like spider thing that is like on his heart, like basically dancing on his heart.
Yeah, and it should be noted that earlier when he saw this, before he saw it on his heart, he saw it on the lungs of Yoshida, because that was something that was shown when he walked into the room.
On the screen, yeah, because there's like a screen you can watch your own x-ray. Let's see, the worm is on Logan's heart, and Logan's like, I'm going to take it out. And Yuki is like, no, this is going to kill you. This is what I saw. Logan just cuts himself open. As one
just,
does.
Just reaches
like,
in there.
Literally, no hesitation. He's like, nope, gotta take it out. So Daddy's meanwhile, as it turns out, alive. Shinjin is alive, and he's wearing the samurai armor. And Yukio is protecting Logan. And Shinjin, Yukio's a great fighter, but Shinjin is very much stronger. Anyway, Logan gets the Hydra out. Haha, see what I did there? He gets the little spider thing out. And he passes out and dies. Woo! Short movie. Good. Can we go home now? Are we done?
No.
No. Fine. This is actually where we have like a really cool fight, because we like the fight choreography between Shinjin and Yuki is actually really cool. The way she moves, the way he moves, the sword play, like it is amazing. And then of course Logan starts healing, and Yuki actually gets knocked out, and Logan stops Shinjin from killing Yukio. So there's, and then like Logan cuts through the sword, which was kind of funny. Shinjin loses, and like it's so funny that like Shinjin doesn't get in this fight, like that Logan is actually healing now. He like just like rams the sword through him, and he thinks, haha. Oh, he uses the cool sword.
He sees that Logan heals.
No, he sees it happen,
but it doesn't register in his
head. That's
like,
what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he like uses the cool like Yoshida sword that is like really, really slick and just like cuts people in two. Because we saw it in the scene where Yukio first shows up. She like, it's that cool thing with the sword. And so he does it on Logan, and he thinks, haha, I won. And Logan's like, I healed. What are you going to do now?
And there's a great moment to end the fight where Shinjin stabs essentially Logan right through the chest, but he's got him by the collar of the shirt with his fist right on the neck. And he goes, who are you? And it's like the Wolverine hits the claws, retracts him, and it's like, it's a nice way to end that
fight.
Yeah,
so it's interesting because like Shinjin hates mutants, and like Logan actually lets him live at first until he tries to stab him in the back. It says, what kind of a monster are you? I'm the Wolverine. So Yukio says that she was wrong, and Logan technically, although like Logan technically did die for a second. Is she right? Anyway.
I would throw this out there. By technicality, she is right, because he did die and he did not have a heartbeat for a while.
But he didn't hold it in his hands, technically.
Yeah, but he did not hold his heart. Well, he did have his heart in his hand.
Well,
because
sort
he was going
of,
after the parasite, you know.
Right, but the parasite was on his heart, not like in his heart, so he didn't actually have to like touch it there. Anyway.
Yeah. Technicalities.
Yeah, so Yukio takes the sword and sees plans for a mech suit. And we sort of saw a lot of like metal at the beginning when we see Shinjin for the first time in the present. A mech suit. Okay, honestly,
it's Japan. When isn't there a
no? I'm sorry. Like in the comics, the Silver Samurai suit was so sleek and so just like, mwah. But this was just like the idea that the Silver Samurai suit is a mech suit is just so incredibly disappointing. So Mariko was taken to Viper at this base where she's being held. So Viper does something to Mariko, like just I guess knocks her out. But Harada says that she serves the house of Yoshida. Mariko wakes up as if from a dream, and she goes to Viper. Although she's never actually named other than Dr. Green, is she?
No. When she does the, when she explains who she is to Shinjin, when she tries to essentially kill him or poison him.
Oh, that's right.
She actually says, I'm a Viper.
A Viper. Wow. Yeah. All right.
So it was her way. It was her way of doing it, and she actually is credited in the film. Let me pull it up real quick. I actually have it saved. Svetlana Shevchenkova, who's the actress.
Svetlana Shevchenko. Please stop butchering my people's names.
She is actually listed as Viper, not Dr. Green or anything like that. Just
interesting.
Viper.
It's funny because I remember her being mentioned as Dr. Green more vividly than Viper, but whatever. She's a creepy as heck.
Yeah, it's just that for the actual credit, she's just credited strictly as, you know.
Yeah, so Viper. Apparently Yoshida had chosen her because she's strong. Or that's why Yoshida chose Mariko. So the samurai mech suit is honestly disappointing. Like, it really is. Like, it looks like... like rejected Iron Man armor. I'm sorry. It's just so disappointing. But anyway, Logan arrives and Harada is there to greet him. And Logan must make one more sacrifice, apparently. And Harada has brought a lot of backup. And we also note that Harada dips his own arrows into a poison as Logan continues up towards the mountain. But the poison arrows hurt and Logan actually does fall. But he wakes up, he hears voices of Kayla, of Jean. There's like a lot. There's a lab on top of the mountaintop and he's trapped. He's like in this kind of machine. And there's an adamantium samurai sword. But Yukio like arrives at this moment and is able to free Logan. It's actually kind of cool how he gets freed. So Viper can't give answers and is honestly kind of obnoxious. Harada tells Mariko to help him, to let him go. Mariko says he and Viper betrayed everyone. Logan's claws. Harada tells Mariko to trust him. Harada is following grandfather's orders. Viper is a means to an end, apparently, and the end is what Grandpa wanted. The mech suit wakes up, and in case it wasn't obvious at this point what the plot of this is Viper is a means to an end. The end here is to get the last bit of adamantium inside Logan and then seal his healing factor. Like, oh yeah, and Yoshida is alive. I'm so shocked. Like, I didn't see that coming. Oh my god, I never expected it.
Well, you didn't see the thing with Yoshida until...
Dude, I figured the plot out in, like...
Yeah, but you don't see it until Logan, like,
I
knocks
know,
his head off.
But it's so obvious at this point. Like, I don't see how anybody thinks this is a brilliant twist. I hope not. Anyway, so the samurai tries to cut Logan's claws. Mariko stabs Harada. Mariko stops it and frees Logan. So she stops the mech suit from slashing Logan's claws off, basically. Harada arrows Viper. She's unfortunately still alive. The mech is in pursuit. Viper sheds her skin.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool and kind of gross, actually.
I mean, if you're going to be a snake, yeah, you gotta shed your skin every now and then.
So it should be noted that Logan and Yukio did not arrive together, so Yukio's on her way. The mech cuts Logan's claw off, actually ends up succeeding in cutting the claws off one hand. The Viper whammies Logan, blinding him. Yukio arrive and fights with Viper. Logan gets the hot sword. It doesn't help because he couldn't turn it on at first. And then he's like, two hands, which is how you're supposed to properly hold a Japanese sword. Which he learned in the flashback, yes. So Harada helps but gets stabbed. So something about a master. Logan cuts through the mech and they both fall. Mariko finds the dying Harada. Yukio sees what is left of Logan's claws. Logan tries to make his way back up, but the mech cuts the other claws. Viper and Yukio wraps like a cord around Viper's and then basically gets hung. No more Viper, finally. The mech suit releases like these wires and it's like sucking away the adamantium.
Those ain't wires. Those are like
drilling needles, whatever it is. Yeah. It looks painful.
It seemed painful.
And it is revealed that it was Yoshida in the suit the entire time. And as more of like, I guess like, this part also isn't really well explained why the healing is connected to the adamantium, because Logan had a healing factor before he got the adamantium. But we see that like Yoshida's, as Yoshida sucking more out of Logan, and my cat is yelling at me to be quiet, I guess. Well, too bad. The healing factor goes and Yoshida like starts looking younger and younger,
which is weird because, like you said, the adamantium never had anything to do with the healing factor in the first place.
Yep.
So unless there was something else that suit was able to do by, you know, outside of sucking out the adamantium, I don't know how. That's the one thing that always kind of bothered me, because we always knew that the adamantium was not the source of the healing factor.
Yeah, so that was a weird one. So then, where did I go? Let's see. Yoshida's restored, but Mariko actually stabs her. Oh, wait, where are we? Healing. You're right. It was Yoshida's in the suit. So Dr. Green helped him make the armor, I guess, and that is what's making him strong. I did not know adamantium had a healing factor to it, like, genuinely. But anyway, so the transfer is making him younger. Yoshida is restored, but then, like, Mariko shows up, and Mariko stabs Yoshida, and Yoshida's like, it's me, your grandfather. And she's like, oh, I buried my grandfather and killed him. Oh, that was epic. That was beautiful. So Logan stands up and pulls the adamantium away and reveals the bone claws. And he throws off, I guess, Yoshida and tells him sayonara as he, like, throws him off the cliff. Then Logan passes out. Then we see Gene and says, can you stay? He says he can't. And Gene's like, yes, you can. But that isn't what he wants anymore. So at the beginning, it was very much like Logan was sort of like waiting for an opportunity to die. And then when the opportunity presents himself, he doesn't take it. And like, so it's kind of back and forth of like, does Logan want to live or does Logan want to die situation?
It's about his growth. Because you could tell that when you first see him, he's still reeling from the events of X3.
Yeah.
And then as this goes on, as he, you know, is with Mariko and Yukio, and, you know, he finds that he has more meaning in life than just Gene. And it actually helps him move on. And that's the whole, and it's like, and that's part of the thing. It's about his growth moving forward.
I would say it's more about like his, well, in a way, yeah. But anyway, so Logan says he had to kill Gene, and finally comes to terms with Gene. And I think guilt is the other thing playing a part here. He's guilty over what happened to Gene and that he had to do. I'm like, I get it to an extent, but like, she was literally a threat to the entire world. So like, you did the only thing you could do. Like, there's literally no reason to kill Gene, for you to feel bad about killing Gene, but whatever. So he finally comes to terms with it and that he'll always love her. Girl, I can't with Wolverine's love triangles. I can't. Anyway, we see back at the airport, Yukio and Mariko hug, be well, sister, and, like, they're each other's family. Mariko and Logan kiss, and Yukio is handed a box, which I guess presumably has, like, the samurai sword in it. So Logan can't stay because he's a soldier. He's been a soldier in hiding. And so as they're sitting in the plane, they're like, where are we gonna go? I guess Yukio is, like, his bodyguard or something, and he says, no clue. And the movie ends without really telling us what the end game is. I guess the end now is they're going to, like, it's, before we get to the after credits scene, it's, there's, like, an implication of, like, they're going to go and do some good and save some people. Because he's a soldier, that's what he does. But the after credits scene puts this kind of into doubt, because we actually see Logan arriving somewhere. We're not really sure where it is.
It's back in America.
It is back in America, and there's like an ad for Trask Industries on the television, and Logan's like, I'll take a pat down. Guess he forgot he's not metal anymore, but whatever. And there's
he's
like-
He's just used to it, you know?
Hold on. So he agrees to the pat down, but then there's like metal that starts going haywire everywhere, which is an obvious implication to Magneto. Logan has bone claws, but Magneto's still able to stop him, so he still has adamantium in his system.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing.
His skeleton will rematerialize.
Well, and that's the thing. He actually stopped the process midway. You know, Yoshida did not accomplish in taking all of the adamantium out of him.
Which was not really well established until this scene, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of was when you saw it. It's like, yeah, okay, it's not in the bone claw, it's not in the claws anymore. But when Mariko does what she does, she stops the process.
Right, but we don't actually see until this point how successful that process is, or if it can actually be replenished, because the adamantium was like legit fused to his bones.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Magneto stops him. He says, dark forces, Wolverine, human forces are bringing an end to our time. And Logan's like, I'm not going to trust you. And Magneto's like, duh, I know that. And so we see that everybody like freezes around him. And Logan says, like, why should he trust Magneto? And Charles is there too, somehow alive, despite X3, him dying.
Well,
and so this also, and we also see like the beginnings of the making of the Sentinels, which we sort of saw hints at in X3. I find it odd.
And that's the thing, like when you look at for this scene, you have to go back to the end of X3. At the end of X3, you know, you see the thing with Mora in that like that hospice, and you had the person there, and then it's Charles Xavier saying, "Hello, Moira," and it's like, okay, that's Charles's voice. And then of course later on into that thing, you had Magneto start moving the chess piece with his hand a little bit, so that kind of accomplished that they were still there. Well, we knew Magneto was still there, but it represented that Charles is still there. But nobody really knew about it, and Magneto was getting his powers back. Now, flash forward all these years later, Magneto is fully back at power, and Charles has now revealed himself as being fully back now at this point. Now, in this weird way, through continuity with the end of X3, it has come full circle in a way. But at the same time, like I said earlier, you're also dealing with a two timeline scenario where they're living in two timelines instead of just one timeline.
Yeah, it's not though. Like there's nothing that establishes that there are two timelines. So I'm calling BS on that. I'm sorry. That's a headcanon. That's not canon. I guess the part that bothers me is like we don't really see why Charles is alive or how, because Jean literally ripped him apart to shreds.
Well, if you remember at the beginning of X3, when he was teaching the class.
Oh, right. There's the whole thing about transportation of consciousness bullshit. Yeah.
So
fine.
That still doesn't
explain why he looks exactly like Patrick Stewart, because it was about the mind, not the body. And he's in a wheelchair still. So, like,
who knows? At least we know with, like, the so-called cure that it had, it wore off, as we saw with Magneto. The side effects ended up wearing off. So, but the thing is, though, is that unfortunately, despite you claiming it as headcanon, when you go into the next film, which is Days of Future Past, is essentially two timelines.
Yeah.
You're getting the original trilogy timeline with the first class timeline.
Which is just such a recipe for disaster. And because the two movies have very different beginnings and different, like, everything. So it's just such a, to me, it feels very much like a cop-out of, like, but this gets to the problem of Bryan Singer being just the worst ever to handle X-Men films. But we'll get to that. I will say that, like, overall, since we're talking this, we're not going to talk about Days of Future Past until next week. So staying on the theme of Wolverine.
We're working our way there, you know?
Yeah, we're getting there, as my cat is, like, desperate for my attention, apparently. Here's what I will say in terms of the Wolverine. It is eons better than X-Men Origins, but that's not hard.
But the thing is, though, is that that was something that Hugh Jackman openly said, that he was disappointed with Origins, and he wanted his next film, his next standalone, to be massively better than Origins.
Yes.
And they definitely succeeded at that.
Yes. However, here's what else. I'll say the good first. Yukio and Mariko were both really well-done characters. They were both really interesting. They were very different characters. Mariko was not a damsel in distress in any means. She still was mostly a damsel in distress, but she could hold her own. I'm glad that at the end of the movie, they didn't, like, shove her into a romance with anybody, and that the movie ended actually with her and Logan parting on, like, good terms, instead of Logan leaving Japan brokenhearted or whatever BS it was in the comics. So that I appreciate. I like the fact that Mariko had more agency, and my cat genuinely just, like, physically disappeared. That is extra weird. But anyway, so I liked that part. I think Mariko was a much more interesting character than I would have expected her to be. So bonus points there. This movie's plot was so gosh darn predictable, though. Oh my God. Like, it was so obvious that Viper was the bad guy, that she did something to Wolverine. There was not even hint or doubts. And it was just so predictable. The only thing I really didn't see coming was them chopping off Logan's claws. That was a little cringe, but other than that, it was pretty predictable.
Yeah, and the actress who played Yukio, which is Ryla Fukushima, she's also been in Arrow as Katana, and the Castlevania series on Netflix as Sumi.
Katana appeared on Arrow? Wow, I must have stopped watching.
Yeah, shows here years 2014 to 2019.
Yep, zero recollection. But anyway.
And then Tao Akimoto played Mariko. And
anyway.
The key ones were, I don't know. It doesn't want to load. But anyways, so I want to throw this out there real quick. I mentioned this a little earlier. So there was a... there was the theatrical version, which is on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came out on Blu-ray, DVD, they did an unrated, uncut version, which has about I think it's like extra 20 minutes. The extended version contains the following changes in addition to more graphic violence, which is why it was also unrated.
Oh, joy.
While Yukio sleeps during the jet flight, there's an additional flashback of Logan with Yoshida in the bunker calling the former Kuzari and asking how old he is. In the limo on the way to see Yoshida, Yukio describes a little more about Yoshida with Logan's cynical remark, "Wow, did they give you a little card to memorize?" Before the servants bathe Logan, he remarks that the other shoes are smaller than his. There's an additional exchange between Yoshida and Logan as Yukio was to give Logan his surgical mask. The servant informs Shinjin that Yoshida wants to see him. He gets up and dresses up before Mariko comes in demanding to see him. Shinjin brushes her aside, and in the next new sequence, there's a father and son exchange where they talk about assuming control of the company, confirming who is the successor, and Shinjin complaining about bringing in the stranger. Logan watches them from his room. An additional set piece taking place in the hotel where Logan and Mariko hide, Logan sees two men on the street and decides to confront them. Before a thug fires at him, he has a hallucination of Jean, but gets pushed off from the balcony. The other thug fires the taser at him, and we see that both thugs having fun at him. As the gunman is about to shoot Logan one more time, the other thug crashes onto the car with a knife on the back. Mariko shows another knife at the other thug before Logan uses the taser at him. So that also defeats the damsel with distress thing right there with Mariko, because she pretty much killed those two guys.
Yeah, so like...
In the countryside retreat, Mariko gives Logan a dry set of clothes before heading to the bedroom. When Yukio and Logan return back to Yoshida family house to find Shinjin, they found three corpses on the floor. There's an exchange between Viper and Harada, and on Mariko's safety, she instructs him to dip the arrows in the poison that she has prepared to slow Logan down with. The second additional set piece in the film of Logan battling ninjas on bikes, Yuko comes in to assisting him with the snowblower. He blows the vehicle up before running into the tower. Meanwhile, Harada is also seen following Viper's instructions, dipping his arrows with her poison. And then the last one is there's a scene also explaining why Yukio saves Logan again during the fight with Viper. She regains her consciousness and follows the trail to the tower. Those are all of the additions that were done on the uncut version.
So the only thing I could see being a little bit more useful to the cut that I saw is the scene where Shinjin talks to Yoshida, but beyond that, doesn't really add anything to me. Yeah. And I don't think this movie really needed extra fight scenes. But anyway, how did this movie do in terms of its rating?
So, and this is based off of theatrical. The theatrical was PG-13. As I mentioned, the other version was uncut or unrated. PG-13 version was 2 hours and 6 minutes with a 6.7 out of 10.
Sorry, one more time. My cat has... be very distracted.
PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours, 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
6.7 out of 10.
Yeah. I'd give it a... yeah, all right. I can live with a 6.7. It's not... it's better, but it's not great. Like, it's an okay movie. It's not a great movie. I think people really overhype this movie. I remember like the hype when it came out, like, oh my god, it's so good, it's brilliant, it's amazing. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And this movie still is just okay. And let's talk about mediocrity as we talk about what we get into next week. But meanwhile, Michael, when can the people and where can the people
find you? No, we're not doing social medias just yet.
Why not?
Because we got some news that we got to talk about. There's two pieces of news that we got to discuss real quick. Number one, WandaVision officially has a date.
Yes, it does. And it comes
out the day after we recorded last week.
It comes out the day before my birthday.
Yeah, which is January 15th. And then... before we started this recording, 45 minutes before we started this recording, Wonder Woman 84 will be hitting theaters and HBO Max on December 25th.
Oh, okay. Just to lay y'all down, just to kind of give you guys the idea of what my future looks like. There's like tons of Disney Plus content coming in December that I will be watching. Wonder Woman is now coming out on Christmas, which is like the best Hanukkah present I could ask for. I mean, you know about Jews and Christmas. Anyway, the Jewish girl gets to land on Christmas is hilarious. But then as we head into January, I get WandaVision and then 911 and 911 Lone Star actually comes back. So I'm going to be busy. Which is a great way to kind of enjoy my winter break.
I'm glad I stopped you with the social media stuff.
You should have let me know we were going to discuss this because you did not tell me that. Anyway.
I honestly, I am I knew that you wanted to bring up at least the WandaVision news. Like, I didn't have to ask you about that because
I tweeted about it. What more do you want from me? But
seriously,
we're
talking
though,
about it on the show officially, because actually last week we did have that long conversation.
We did.
So what's the follow up to it? So January 15th, WandaVision debuts. And then so December 25th, it will be Wonder Woman.
Speaking of that, I think part of the reason that Disney Plus actually delayed WandaVision's release is probably having to do with Wonder Woman's rumors of coming out on Christmas, but also because Disney has already, like, a ton of content coming out on Christmas, and WandaVision, I don't think, really fits into that Christmassy, like season. So that's one. Two, I think they wrapped up their reshoots a little bit later than they expected because of coronavirus or other complications that arose. That's two. And honestly, I know people were like bitching and whining on Twitter because that is what people do on Twitter, but like, I'm okay with this delay because as far as I remember, originally WandaVision was supposed to come out at the end of December anyway. So realistically, this was only like a 2-week delay on a property we already knew was going to be released at the end of the year.
Yeah. So like, what's
it's
2 weeks?
Not, yeah, it's really not, like, don't get me wrong. I kind of bummed I have to wait 2 more weeks than I originally planned, but like, if they need more time, I'd rather they take those 2 extra weeks and really tweak the post-production and like really turn out, like, if they need those 2 weeks, let them have those 2 weeks, even if it's just to tweak 1 or 2 things, or if not tweak at all, like, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. I feel really bad for actually Captain America and Winter Soldier, like Falcon and Winter Soldier fans who are like obsessively waiting for news on that, because they have to wait now way much longer than they initially had to wait for content and
for
the show.
Well, that's how it is with a lot of shows at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of shows that have been canceled as a result of it too, because Netflix has canceled a lot of shows that were actually renewed for newer seasons. Like, Glow was supposed to have their final season, but they got canceled instead as a result of the coronavirus. So you do have that to think about as well. So while, be grateful that you're still getting your shows, because there are other shows that have been canceled.
This is true. And
one final note on the Wonder Woman thing. So as everyone knows, when the whole thing with Mulan happened, you know, where they did the limited theatrical release, but also put it on Disney Plus, but you had to pay like the $30 extra just to see it, which now next month everyone who has a subscription to Disney Plus will finally get to see Mulan.
Still won't watch it.
The difference between what Disney did with Mulan and what Warner is doing with Wonder Woman, when it releases on HBO Max the same day it hits theaters, it will be for no additional charge to what you've already paying for HBO Max. So whatever an HBO Max subscription is, you're automatically going to get Wonder Woman as part of your subscription. You don't have to shell out an extra $15, $30 like you had to do with Disney. With Disney Plus,
so kudos to HBO for that. I appreciate it. Not that I have HBO Max, but you know.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, though, is that that's a stark difference compared to what Disney
this
Plus
is true.
Did with Mulan. So,
still not gonna go see Mulan. Will not watch Mulan, but that's separate.
But,
yeah,
I mean, that part's irrelevant. But it you have to look at the differences between how Warner did it and how Disney did it.
This is true. Also, it should be noted that while we are going to be like going on a quick like 2-week break so I can finish my finals because grad school life is a thing, we do still have a lot of time to sort of get mostly through the X-Men films before we start reviewing WandaVision. So thanks, WandaVision, for that 2-week delay so that we can get through more X-Men
films.
Not
only that, but what we could also do is that we can, to make up for it, if we want to try to keep on schedule to make sure X-Men is done before WandaVision, we could easily maybe record 2 episodes in a week and then just release them both in the same week just to keep us on schedule.
We'll get there.
But we'll look at how are schedules going compared to when WandaVision comes out? Because obviously when WandaVision comes out, it would be nice to be done with X-Men and then go into WandaVision.
That's fair. But anyway, that is something to discuss off the air.
Yep. We're giving we're telling people the behind the scenes of how we work a little bit.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, for realsies this time then, Michael, Where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on the Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. The website is txhthockey.com, and for the shows /nerdy-notions. And of course, you can find me on Twitch, where I am an affiliate, twitch.tv/themichaelx75. My schedule is on there. I stream Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. If you want to know what games I'm going to be playing specifically, that is on the Twitch channel where you can actually see the schedule. And Sasha, since like you play video games, whatever, you loser.
Nerd. Anyways, look at
as we do a podcast.
Yeah, seriously. Just why I'm calling you a nerd. Folks can find me on Geeky Captain on Instagram, Geeky Kaplan on Twitter. Ugh, I'm on Twitter now. geekgirl101.tumblr.com, and of course geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com, where I write occasionally when my hands are not killing me, comic book reviews, read out loud. It's amazing. So please join us next time as I suffer so you do not have to suffer through the Bryan Singer induced Wolverine loving infatuated mess that is Days of Future Past.